Brothers and sisters, good morning. Certainly grateful to be back and to see all your shining faces this morning. It's such a delight. I do thank you for praying for me while I was on pilgrimage. I didn't die. This is a plus. Okay. Came close a few times, but that's okay. And please know that I did very much pray for you on pilgrimage. And I was thinking about pilgrimage a good deal today because today is the feast day of a saint in Rome who we didn't see, even though we saw about two dozen saints over the course of 2 days. But he's a little bit out of town. He lives like north of 14, so we weren't going to go see that. And that's St. Lawrence, the great deacon saint, and also one very dear to my heart, as you'll find out in a second why. I'm sure you'll be able to figure it out. But I wanted to tell you his story today because it really both matches the readings and what I wanted to preach on today. So St. Lawrence was from Huesca in Spain and became a deacon of the Church of Rome. At that time, the Pope only had seven deacons. There were only seven deacons in all of the diocese because he was imitating the Acts of the Apostles, where the Apostles had seven deacons. And that switched later, I don't know why, but seven deacons. And they were really important because they helped him run the whole of Rome. Well, this is when Christianity was still illegal. And in 258, the emperor captured the pope and all seven deacons, and he executed the pope and six of the seven deacons 3 days ago. And told Lawrence, who was kind of the chief financial officer of the Church of Rome, "You have 3 days to bring me the treasures of the Church of Rome. And if you do so, I'll spare your life." And so Lawrence, first of all, dear to my heart, smuggled the Holy Grail out of Rome by his cousin to bring it to Spain, and that's why it's in Spain still to this day, but also went and took all the money, not that there was a lot, but took all the money that the Church of Rome had and distributed it to the poor of Rome. And then on the third day, God bless the man, showed up to the emperor surrounded by the homeless, and said, "These are the treasures of the Church of Rome." Okay, anyway, so I'm sorry, it delights me. And the emperor, not best pleased by this, did something weird, but Roman emperors did a lot of weird things in those days. He actually got a big gridiron and made a big fire and tied Lawrence to the gridiron and roasted him alive. And Lawrence's last words, and these were recorded early on, this is not a later legend. Lawrence's last words, are you ready for Lawrence's last words? Do you want to hear Lawrence's last words? So inspirational. Lawrence's last words were, "You can turn me over, I'm done on this side." Yes! I too hope to die with sarcasm on my lips. This is the only way for a Christian to die, either saying the creed or sarcasm. That's your two options right there, dear brothers and sisters. And the church, apparently, being filled with Lawrence's sarcastic spirit, named him the patron saint of barbecuers and cooks. So I don't know what that's all about, but there it is. If you want to grill today, go ahead and do it. But I wanted to get Lawrence in his true holiness, and unfortunately sarcasm in itself is not enough to make you holy, but sarcasm as your last words kind of is, but I'll get to that in a second. Because we hear today Jesus say, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock. Sell your belongings and give alms." That's exactly what Lawrence did. Not only his own belongings, but all the belongings of the church. And again, not that there was a lot back then. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid. He gave everything. He renounced possessions, embraced the poor, gave his life, and died with a smile on his lips. And that's what makes you holy. To die not because you want to die not out of fear, to die not out of grief or loss, but to have so perfectly renounced the world that losing it is kind of funny. And that's why many saints, it's not something we preach about enough, but that's why many saints St. Francis de Sales, St. Philip Neri, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati all say that a good sense of humor, not a bad one, a good sense of humor is a symptom of holiness. Because you're not constantly crushed by care for the world. Because as Jesus says today, where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. And if this life doesn't matter that much, then you can laugh at it. Okay. In my 3 years and a month here, we've gone through three of the pillars of the catechism. We're going to kind of start the fourth one today. And of the pillars of the catechism, it's the hardest one for me to preach on. Every 4 years I get a little nervous because I don't really know how to preach on this one, because unlike the other three, which were the creed, the sacraments, and the moral life, this one is a little bit more subjective because it's about prayer. And the reality is that there are objective truths about prayer, but because prayer is a relationship with God, it's also somewhat subjective. That's a hard line to draw, because after 16 years as a priest, I'm not stupid enough to think that the way I pray is necessarily going to be the way you pray. Right? But there are certain commonalities to all of us. And so we're going to be looking at that this year, and I really want you to start now, to start thinking like we're going to focus on prayer and developing our prayer lives for 9 months straight. That's important. Every Sunday we're going to be hearing about that. And so this is a good time to really focus on that if it hasn't been your focus yet. And I wanted to look at that story from St. Lawrence and look at some of the readings today and really say a few initial thoughts about prayer as the Church sees it and as the saints see it. Just to kind of set the groundwork here before we get down into serious work. And the first is this. Unlike what you'll see portrayed in Hollywood or on Facebook or the way lots of people talk about it, prayer is not just blowing out birthday candles and making a wish with the word amen at the end of it. It's not good wishing. God is not your Amazon wish list. It's about a friendship, a relationship with Him. And that's a much harder thing. Because I can tell the waiter what I want. But to have a relationship with a human being is hard. To have a relationship with the infinite God is harder. And takes our entire life. And like every relationship, if it's a real relationship, it's going to need to grow. And like every relationship, if it's a real relationship, it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require us giving some things up for the sake of the relationship. It's also going to require the sacrifice of intimacy. And I find that this is the hardest sacrifice that people make in prayer. It's hard for them to really open and be vulnerable with God. We'll come back to that. But as that idea of relationship is there, so also the saints use kind of a metaphor for it, and we see that today in the second reading, and that's the metaphor of the journey. The journey. And we can say, like, oh, I've been on a journey with this person my whole life, or my friendship's like a journey, or my love life is like a journey. I mean, mine's not, but you know. Right, this reality, right? And there's a journey with God. And we see that very clearly. Hebrews saying, by faith, by faith, by faith, they walked. By faith, Abraham left everything behind to seek God. That's what Lawrence did. He didn't walk by his feet, but he still left everything behind to seek God. Right? And we hear that he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. He had no lasting dwelling because he was seeking God. And we hear that this is exactly what all those who died in faith did. They did not receive what had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. Seeking. Seeking. A lot of times people come to me, less so now because they know that I'm sick, but a lot of times people come to me for spiritual direction. And I am utterly useless to them. And the reason I'm utterly useless to them, and it's not to condemn them, it's the way most people are, it's the way I am most of the time. The way I'm utterly useless to them is because they're not seeking. Everybody look at me. If your car is parked in the garage, you don't need directions. You only need directions if you're trying to get somewhere. And people come to me and they're like, Father, give me direction, and they have no intention of moving. How can I direct something that won't move? That's a reality. St. Bonaventure says, one of his strongest teachings, that to be a person of prayer, you have to be a person of desire. You have to be a person of desire, of holy desires. You have to desire intimacy with God. You have to desire heaven. You have to desire conversion. You have to desire overcoming sin. You have to desire the goodness that Jesus gives. We have to desire as those who died in faith did. They saw it from afar, and they journeyed toward it. You have to be a person of desire because, as Jesus says in the gospel, where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. If we don't treasure God and what God promises, our heart will never be with Him. We have to be a person of desire. And as part of that, we have to be freed of other desires. You can't go somewhere unless you leave somewhere else. That's pretty basic, but you got that, right? You can't go somewhere unless you leave somewhere else. And that's one of the things that the saints also tell us all the time. There is no growth with God unless you're willing to sacrifice everything for Him. Like Lawrence did. Period. Now, in the gospel today, we hear Jesus say, sell your belongings and give alms. Now, not all of us are called to exactly that level of heroic discipleship. However, there is something else that Jesus says. I don't like this one. There's something else that Jesus says. I think it's in Luke chapter 14. There's something else that Jesus says that you don't get to get a pass on. Because Jesus says explicitly, unless you renounce all of your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. That's not optional anymore. That's not some people are called to that. That is every single person, unless you renounce all of your possessions. So all of us are called to renounce everything we own. Every relationship in our life, every dream that we have, we're called to renounce it all. For many of us, God will give it back to us and let us keep it for now. But you cannot be His disciple if you cling to anything else along with Him. You have to be willing to renounce everything and only hope that He gives it to you back. And if He doesn't give it back to you, just hope that that's meant it wasn't for you in the first place. That's not easy. It's one of the reasons why I hate St. John of the Cross. St. John of the Cross points out that to get to God, you have to climb the mountain. And you can climb the mountain in one of two ways. The easy way, which is much, much longer, where you're going up by switchbacks like this. He said, most of you won't get there before you die. He said, or you could just go straight up the mountain. I try to tell John, I'm from Louisiana, we don't do mountains. But he said, you can go straight up the mountain. And how do you go straight up the mountain? He says, there's a shortcut straight up the mountain. And that shortcut, he drew it. He said, that shortcut is nada, nada, nada. Nothing, nothing, nothing. He said, one way or another, are you going by the switchbacks or are you going the shortcut? You're going to have to let go of everything. So you might as well just face up to it and let everything go and go straight up the mountain. And I try to tell John that I'm fat and we don't do that. But the reality is, dear brothers and sisters, unless you renounce all your possessions, you cannot be His disciple. I don't like that teaching any more than you do. But decades of discipleship have proven to me that it's true. And I know I don't do it. And how do I know that I don't do it? Because when I go in the chapel, I'm thinking of everything else except Him. And that's when I realize where my treasure is, there also is my heart. And my heart ain't with Him. Which means I haven't renounced everything. And would to God that it was something I could have done at 18 and be done with it, because I tried. But no, we're stupid. We want to keep on grasping the things that we renounced once. And that's part of the spiritual life too, dear brothers and sisters. That like Lawrence, like Abraham, like all the saints, we have to see Him. And the only way we can journey toward Him is to let go of the place we already are. And then we'll be like the people in the Book of Wisdom, who in secret were offering sacrifice. You may not look very different to the people around you, but in that secret place, in the depth of your heart, as you await the deliverance of God, you'll be offering sacrifice. You'll be ready to get up and leave Egypt when He calls. You'll be ready to be saved. If we pray well, I'm going to be honest with you, if we pray really well, we don't even have to go to purgatory. That's what real prayer means. Real prayer means that you're ready for heaven by the time you die. If we pray well, it's not just about an inner feeling or some kind of personal accomplishment. Praying well is an act of salvation. Jesus always connects it to the second coming. Wisdom connects it to being delivered from Egypt in the Exodus. Dear brothers and sisters, if we pray well, we will be saved. But to pray well, we have to be people of desires. And so we pray to St. Lawrence today that through his intercession, we might be willing to renounce everything, might be willing to embrace everyone, and most of all, that we might be willing to lose both all the world and our life for the sake of God, and to do it with a sarcastic grin. God bless you all.